talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go here. It's a Getaway Friday, August the 2nd, 2019, the first Friday in August, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Exchange Club here on a Friday. Charlie Evers, Brandy Downs, the regulars here. And do want to remind people, if you want to get your tickets to the Ohio State Fair, you have 1 hour. It's David Avery, it's Amy Brown, and it's April Avery. If you don't get them in an hour, that's it. And also these tickets to the Dublin Irish Festival, you have to pick those up within an hour. And that would be the person who won them on Charlie's show, Ryan Garno. So there you go. You got 1 hour. You're on the clock until this show is over today. Now, there's all kinds of interesting stuff to talk today, but I want to start with something that happened on last week's show. As we were ending the show last week, we got into an interesting topic, I guess, for people, because I was approached the next day in the grocery store about this, because we were talking about the grocery store last week. You remember what I was talking about. And this woman, God bless her, and I hope she's out there listening now, but I didn't know who she was. She leaned over to me, and she said, "I just want you to know, I've never heard of people getting picked up in the grocery store." She said, "I was listening, and I agree with you."
Yes,
and that was
yes.
how we ended the show last week. And I have to agree with this woman, just to finish up this topic, because I have spent many a day in a grocery store, and I've seen fights in a grocery store. I've seen people try to steal in a grocery store, but I've never heard the story of, where did grandma and grandpa or mom and dad meet? Well, we met in aisle 6. I've never heard such a thing. I don't think this happens. The woman didn't think it happens. And I just wanted to point that out because a listener agrees.
Okay, well.
That's all.
It's happened to me. I have no reason to lie about it, so.
Well, I don't think we're calling you a lie. I don't want to get off on a bad note. I'm just saying. You know, we're going to get this Facebook Live thing fixed so people can see your facial expressions to me.
Okay.
She's always got that face contortion over there, Charlie. We never had this trouble before. So, anyway, let's move along. Charlie, how are you?
I was going to say, talking about the grocery store, do people come along and pick up like a cherry and eat it?
Oh, yeah. People, more than that.
Does that go on?
More than that.
Really?
People open up the soda and start drinking half of it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. But they'll hand it to you and tell you to pay for it.
Oh, my land.
Oh, yeah. People get into bread and milk and all kinds of stuff.
I wonder. In the
yeah,
store?
Bread. Sure.
Just eat straight bread?
Yeah. I mean, donuts get eaten quite a bit.
Oh.
And they'll tell you there were actually two donuts
like
in there.
Loaf bread?
Yeah.
Ew.
Well, I don't know. I mean, listen, I think everybody's fine.
I've never seen that happen, Scott. I don't think it does.
This world is quite varied.
Well, no, these are things I've seen. I've never seen anything else. I've never seen romance at the grocery store.
And now they don't have open containers of candy, so you can't pick up a piece of candy.
No, we don't do that anymore.
Okay.
But now just people have found other avenues to get to, like cookies. They'll pop open the cookies and start eating those. Anything. Energy drinks are a big one. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. But, you know, the point, before we move on, because we want to move on quick because we have a lot of very interesting stuff this week. I think the problem with the thing last week about romance in the grocery store is that why wouldn't it happen other places? Like in a restaurant? Like in a department store, why the grocery store? What would the appeal be of the grocery store that would bring somebody out to approach a total stranger?
I don't think there's an appeal to it.
I mean,
there's lots of people in a space that are not necessarily... Like, if you're at a restaurant, you're otherwise occupied with the people that you're with.
Oh,
I
know.
I'm at a grocery store, I'm by myself, and...
I remember how many people, when I was in college, when I worked in a restaurant locally, used to hit on the waitresses, leave their phone numbers for them. Now, that was a place where people were doing a lot of dating, and...
Okay, so it does happen.
Yeah.
So... Why is it any different than a grocery store?
Well, I think the inference was, why a grocery store and not just any place where a lot of people are? Why would the grocery store be a specific area that people would go to date?
I don't think it is a specific area. I think it just, anytime you have lots of people in one space, it happens. I mean, it's happened to me at the bookstore. It's not, I used grocery store just as a, you know, momentary analogy.
Oh, well, see,
I wasn't
different.
Saying that's the only place it ever happens to me. I mean, I have tons of friends. Like, you go anywhere and somebody is bound to, you know, have an issue. That's just the way it is.
Well, that's because people, you know, people are lonely, Charlie. I noticed that at the bowling alley last night. There's a lot of lonely people rolling around out there.
Is that what I heard?
That's what you heard last night.
I thought it was just pins being hit.
It was a lot of lonely people bumping into each other.
Well, that was a loud broadcast. I mean, a lot of people out there.
It was. It was a packed house out there last night. And the prizes they gave away were fantastic. Did you hear that part of the show?
No.
Oh, televisions and
really?
Bowling balls.
And this was a tournament?
It was at the end of the season. Yeah, that started back in May.
Was it ladies or men's?
Mixed.
Mixed?
Mixed. And a lot of young people, more young people than you would have thought.
And they weren't all from Marion?
Probably not. But we interviewed quite a few of them. Terry handled that. He's the bowling expert.
Okay. Now, they don't allow smoking, right?
No more smoking in a bowling alley.
That's good.
Nope. I don't think you can smoke inside anywhere. Some bars try to press at that a little bit.
Yeah, you know how they complained and said our business was going to fail. You couldn't smoke.
Didn't happen.
Didn't work.
Now, we'll move away from that into, well, this was something, Charlie. Did you see any of the debates on Tuesday and Wednesday night?
No, on purpose I didn't.
Well, that was a good idea because these debates were messy. And they were, I think the only people who were happy to see these debates were probably the Republicans and Donald Trump because... Well, we'll just start with the first night. The first night was not as aggressive as the second night. But this guy running from Ohio, poor Tim Ryan, I think he got his... Not that he wasn't close to the end of his campaign, but I think the death nail got put in on Monday night? When was that? Tuesday night? Tuesday night. Yeah, it was Tuesday night. When he tried to make his... You know, shot. He was going to take his shot, and he decided he was going to shoot on Bernie Sanders, and that was not a good idea to do because we found out what we talked last week about Bernie being the street fighter of this group, and he certainly showed that on Tuesday night because Bernie was saying something about it was all about Medicare. The two nights. And Bernie was saying, my plan is going to have glasses for old people and dental work and all kinds of stuff. And Tim Ryan decides here's his chance. And he's going to say, he said, Bernie, that's not true. And Bernie said, I wrote the damn bill. You don't know. And that just shut him right up. He had nothing to say.
Yeah.
Nothing to say. What was that all about, Brandy?
I think you just told us what it was all
about. But I mean, was it his moment? Was he trying to make his moment?
I have never understood Tim Ryan, so I'm not the person to ask. He's an interesting duck.
That was a mistake, though, wasn't it?
I mean, I don't know. People are talking about him, and that's more than they were doing before, certainly.
Not in the positive, though.
Well, not any press is good press, I guess, when you're running for president and trying to get your name out there. I don't think most people knew who Tim Ryan was. They probably still don't, really, but...
Well, I know that first night, it was Elizabeth and Bernie versus everybody else. That's basically what it was. They were out to get him. They're the socialist, basically.
Oh, my goodness.
No, that's what the idea was. I'm not saying I'm saying that. I'm saying that was the idea. It was. I watched the thing. These two are the socialists. They want to give you everything for free. And the rest of us are the sensible Democrats. We're not going for that. And that's what that night was. Elizabeth and Bernie, I don't think, ever got into an argument the first night. At all. Right or wrong.
Was that your phone or mine?
But Bernie Sanders, what he proposes would have to go through Congress, and it'd never make it.
Probably not. Probably not, because even the Democrats aren't sure about his ideas. Yeah. Same thing with Elizabeth Warren. Yeah. She tells you she has a plan, but I don't know that it would ever make it through Congress or anything of that nature. But they were out to get him because there's an idea that a socialistic person cannot win a general election. And these other people were going to show that these two who are in the lead don't know what they're talking about. But they didn't get the job done was the problem. Every time they went after him, they got smacked around. Because Bernie's a little nutty. You know, he just... And then they tried to make fun of him for lifting his hands up. I forget the guy who did that. But he said Bernie got angry about something and threw his hands up. And the guy says, well, you can throw your hands up. And Bernie, well, of course, I'll do that. It was strange. It was like some kind of... I don't know what... It was like big-time wrestling is what it was. It reminded me of that. It was like a show. Who cares if he throws...
This is always how the debates are. I don't know why anyone is making a big deal out of this. Every time there's a debate, there are always people that argue. And then the party comes out and says, oh my goodness, that was so awful. They fought the whole time. And oh, what are we going to do? That's just going to make the other side happy. Every single election cycle.
I don't remember Hillary and Bernie having things like, why do you throw your hands up? And I wrote the bill with some, you know, I'm not going to say it again, but colorful language. I don't remember that in those debates.
There were plenty of one-liners in those debates, and there were plenty of one-liners in the Hillary Obama debates, and there were plenty of every debate I've ever watched in my entire life.
They used to be newsy. They used to be, and if you used a line, it was to attack somebody's policy. It wasn't to attack somebody's hand gestures. I mean, it was silly the other night. I mean, that to me is silly. Who cares what his hand gestures are?
I certainly don't.
And shouldn't Tim Ryan know that Bernie Sanders wrote the bill that he's talking about? It just seemed like people were uninformed. When people used to get into fights, they might hit him for something, but it was something they did. That didn't happen on night number one.
But when you think about it, he did get attention by mentioning that.
But I don't think that is good attention, because the polls don't reflect anything for Tim Ryan, but they did reflect for Bernie, because it shows he's a take-charge guy, he knows what he's talking about. It helped Bernie. It certainly didn't help Tim Ryan.
But that's the thing. You can't... I mean, Tim Ryan got into this presidential race apparently thinking he could win. I mean, if he didn't realize that he wasn't polling well, you know, months ago, why would he realize that Bernie Sanders wrote the bill? I mean, it just, there's a lack of awareness there on Tim Ryan's
part.
Well,
that's the point. Everybody who used to get into a presidential election more or less knew what they were talking about. There's a lot of people on these two stages who don't know. They have no idea.
That's true either.
You don't think Hillary and Obama knew what they were talking about?
Well, but there are a lot more, there have been a lot more stages than just Hillary and Obama. Hillary and Obama were probably the exception rather than the rule. There are always going to be people on those stages that everyone says, that person doesn't know what they're talking about. They're a complete idiot. Every single debate, it happens. There's always got to be one. There's always one person who overshoots.
Well, speaking of overshooting, night one was just that. Night two... That was much more entertaining because, what do they call him? Grandpa Joe?
Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe Biden came out, and boy, they were ready for him this time. We thought last time they went after him, this time they really went after him. And he ended up being one of the losers in that debate, according to USA Today, who's pretty accurate with these things. He was listed as one of the losers. He said he understood that they were all going to come after him. But yet he still didn't handle it as well as he could have. Or at least that's what USA Today said. You watched it, Brandy. What do you think?
Well, I have long said about Joe Biden, he's not good at these things. This is not where he shines. If you are going to put him on a debate stage, you better be prepared. It's going to be a slaughter. I mean, that's just how it is with Joe Biden. He wasn't good when he ran for president before. Why would anyone think that he's going to be suddenly amazing now just because he's the front runner? Come on.
And look how he stands out, though. Here's this old man and all these young characters.
But Bernie's old, and it doesn't. But people don't see him that way.
He is old, chronologically, but people don't see Bernie Sanders that way.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is that it's weird that people keep attacking Biden. Oh my gosh, I did
Biden.
Oh, Biden. A nice Irish boy.
They're in my head, Charlie.
Yeah.
That they are attacking Biden on the fact that he's old, when they're not attacking Bernie on the fact that he's old. And I think it comes down to the progressiveness of their policy.
Yeah, and personality. I mean, Bernie is a live wire.
That's it. It's
but
personality.
It still seems old to younger people. I mean, it's not like we don't see it. It's just I think that the difference between their policies kind of makes it feel like one guy has moved forward and the other one is still kind of stuck.
Well, the problem is Joe doesn't know how to answer questions. He hasn't quite figured out that he voted certain ways and wrote certain op-ed articles, and he doesn't know how to answer them. But I will say the bigger loser than him on Tuesday night was that Gillibrand woman, who she just should have stayed home, because she tried. She thought, well, I'm going to get in on this and I'm going to get a piece of old Uncle Joe. And she couldn't do it. She couldn't pull it off. She wrote this. She hit him about this op-ed article where he was against women, I guess, which wasn't really true. And he just laid her. That's the only time he laid anybody out that night. He just said, well, you know, you weren't acting like this a few months ago. Maybe it's because you're running for president now. And she had nothing to say. Nothing.
Yeah, I like Gillibrand, but I thought that was overblown. Like, I read the op-ed. I went back and read it to make sure that I wasn't mistaking what had been said, because it was clearly like before my time, you know, and I read it and I understand why she's criticizing it, but I don't think it was nearly the issue that she made it or was trying to make it on the stage.
Well, much like Tim Ryan, and I thought she would have been better at this because she's a little more seasoned of a politician. When you're going to attack somebody, you better understand that they're going to respond. And there was no response. That's the problem. When he responded and said, you didn't have a problem before, and maybe it's because you're running for president, she had no response. She had nothing. You know, at least when he gets in these little tussles with Harris or Booker, they can respond. Gillibrand was okay. Well, maybe it is because I'm running for president. That's how it came off to me.
I got nothing.
The other two but Harris, God bless her heart, who was big the first round of debate, she was listed as the other loser on Wednesday night because she was getting some attacks from that lady from Hawaii, and she couldn't handle it. She didn't know what to do.
I think her performance was still like far and away better than Joe Biden. I mean, I knew that people were going to say that she was a loser because they were expecting her to, you know, come out guns blazing and dominate the stage. I still think she had a very good performance, and Tulsi Gabbard is
Tulsi Gabbard,
piece.
That's her name. No, but she plopped her pretty good. You know, talked about you put all these people in prison for doing marijuana, then you laughed about marijuana on a radio show, and she didn't even touch that. She wouldn't even bring that up. And she tried to, I stand by my record. That's all she kept saying. I stand by my record. I stand by my record. Okay.
Well, and then she attacked her on Assad afterwards, so.
Yeah, but no, I don't even think people care about that. I really don't.
I care.
The general public does not. The general
public, Democratic voters do care.
Yeah, but you got to win the middle of the road people, and that's what everybody was saying the next day. Who's the person who's going to hit the people who are undecided? And it doesn't seem to be these people. Now, the winners, oddly enough, from that second debate, they said were Cory Booker, who really, he's the one who really laid Joe Biden out that night. What was the thing about the Kool-Aid?
Yeah, and I actually didn't think that was as good as everyone seemed to think it was. That whole exchange was a little odd.
Well, I think because he was the first one to say, you bring up Obama when it's good for you, and you don't bring it up when it's not good for you. And I think it was because he did that.
I don't know. I mean, Cory Booker certainly had a good debate night. I'm, you know, not saying that he didn't, but I didn't think it was as fantastic as people were making it out to be.
What's Booker's background? I mean, what's he famous for, or what is he championed?
You know, I think he's a middle-of-the-road Democrat who is not an old person. I think that's his... No, I think that's where he is. He's certainly not of the socialistic vein that people try to paint Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders with. He's not a woman, obviously. He's not a white male, which apparently does not show diversity. So he's really that. I mean, is there another person?
Julian, I mean, it's Castro? Just like,
but Julian Castro is not African American.
No, but he's not white.
Not white, but you know, like Pete Buttigieg. I mean, one of the things he's known for, like it or not, and he's just totally disappeared. He just blended into the wallpaper the other night.
I don't think that's true. I thought that he had a good showing too. I mean, it wasn't. I wouldn't say he was the winner, but people seemed to be impressed by what he was saying.
But people, you know, he's the same-sex candidate. So, you know, that's what I think Cory Booker is. He's the male who's not old, who is African-American, who... What's his big claim to fame other than that? I mean, really, what is it?
I mean, he's done a lot of work. He is friends with... Oh, of course, now their names are going to escape me. Chris Murphy from Connecticut, and they have done an excellent job of using social media. They've had Facebook Lives where they've like gone on road trips together and done different things. Cory Booker has gone to the detainment centers and given people a glimpse inside of those. So, I mean, I wouldn't count him out. He certainly has merit beyond the fact that he's a non-white candidate.
That's not his merit. What I'm saying is that's what people, that's the distinction right now between him and the other candidates. Like all these guys, like Hickenlooper and Ryan and people like, people don't even know them. There's no recognition. I don't think people could pick them out of a prison lineup.
Are these people going to be viable up until convention?
There's only a few that I think that are left viable at this point.
They have to meet a certain donor threshold in order to, really? To get on the debate stage, not to be
And I'll tell you,
on the
Klobuchar, you know, the woman who ate
the threshold.
Yeah, but she was a loser that night. She really has hit the wall. You know, she needs some publicity. She needs to eat another salad with a hairbrush or something.
Oh, that's
wait a minute. Yeah. She's the moderate. She's the one that you keep saying everyone, all the undecideds are going to vote for, the moderate.
Well, I don't know about her because she, the other night, bored people to death.
Okay, who's the moderate then?
Who's the moderate? Well, I think Joe Biden's the moderate.
Oh, for Pete.
He's
sake.
Not. He's pretty moderate. You think he's, what is all he, right. conservative? He's certainly not liberal. You think he's
a
liberal?
Democrat.
Well, he's a liberal, but so is Klobuchar.
Oh my goodness!
But he's not. He's not the new Democratic Party. He's not Cortez and that group.
Well, that's true, but I don't think that makes you necessarily a moderate.
I don't know. That's the Democratic Party now. They get meetings with Pelosi. They get all that time.
Yeah, I wonder if the Democratic Party really feels that they're in disarray.
Well, that's the problem.
Nope. We don't.
Well, to hear the people talk about it, they do.
That who's these the people?
People I know. People in the know. Mary Ellen Withrow said she didn't like those nights. That they're picking at each other too much. They're creating commercials
everybody
for the general.
Everybody says that at every single debate. My whole life, that's always been the argument against debates. And I don't disagree with it. there are other ways that we possibly could decide our nominee that wouldn't be people picking apart, but this is not a new thing. This is what debates are, and it's always been that way.
But it is a new thing to have 40 people and have to do it on two nights and take up all this time, and that's the mistake. That's the problem here.
The Republicans had a 17. Huge field last time.
But they got it done in one night, and they didn't. Yeah, they had like an undercard debate, and those people never got off of it. The problem is the Democrats are doing it like some lottery. We haven't even seen Elizabeth Warren and Biden together yet, and that's a problem. And you're doing these things over two nights, so you're getting two news cycles of all the guffaws that are happening at these things, and I think it's a problem. And I think somebody, and nobody will get out.
I disagree.
Just more people are getting in.
I don't think it's a problem. I think I think the ratings have continued.
That's
things have
and that's
been
bad
fine.
Too. Because it's, if the ratings are up, people are watching all this mess.
But it's not. Look, again, this is always what happens. People watch because they want to be able to separate one candidate from another. This is the important part. They're watching for who's distinguishing themselves. They don't care about when somebody says, "Oh, you don't have to throw your hands up." That's not like either people knew who that guy was and they were already in his camp, or they didn't know and they probably weren't going to vote for him anyway.
But is that true? Is that really true? Do you think people have already made it up?
No, I think that there are a certain number of people on the stage who are well known, who people know, who people are watching because we want to see the distinctions between these candidates. The people who aren't well known, I don't think people are watching closely. And when they get in those little moments, you know, it might make some people chuckle, but if it doesn't translate to people going out and donating to them or looking up their name on Google or whatever, you know.
Oh, that's
the
a good
same,
that's a good story too. 49 states. Who was the most Googled person after the debate? Marianne Williamson.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That lunatic woman who, you know, talks crazy talk.
Oh my.
I mean, why? Now, see, that's the Democratic Party today. Why is that?
For Pete's sake.
No, I mean, did it happen?
People, yes, it happened. Yes, people want to know who she is after that debate. But you know, again, if it doesn't look like it's translating to donations on her part. So
no, but
we'll
she's popular.
Being popular is different than getting. There's more than one metric that has to be measured
now,
for any given Democratic
now,
candidate.
You said with Tim Ryan, it was good that his name got out there, even though in a bad
her
way.
Her name gets out there. Do I think she's going to get the nomination? No.
I don't
think Tim Ryan's going to get it either.
49 states, she was number one. That's not like 10. That's 49. That she was the most Googled person.
Well, like I said, we'll see. There are other metrics to follow and see if it translates for her. I don't think it will.
Does she sound like that one that you've interviewed in Toledo?
Very similar.
Is that right?
She's got a little Opal Covey in her, yes. Kind of woo. Why is she on the stage? I mean,
because she met the requirements
now,
to
see,
be there.
There you go. She's got a chance.
Okay, Scott.
Doesn't she? Oh, they said that about somebody. What was his name? Oh, Trump. That's right. They said he didn't have a chance.
Yeah, this is the Democrat Party. This is not the Republicans.
I don't know what that means, but I'm telling you, everybody likes entertainment now. That's true. Is it not, Charlie?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
sure.
The president had no political experience, but he's a reality guy. He said things that people... He was in Ohio last night.
That's right.
Saying he's going to get rid of AIDS and cure cancer and...
Childhood cancer, specifically.
There you go. People...
Mm-hmm.
And he's president.
Mm.
So don't think that Marianne can't...
Slide
in there.
Didn't we have a whole show where we talked about how you can't make those sorts of claims?
You shouldn't make those, but he did.
Oh,
and the crowd
goodness.
Went crazy, didn't they? Yeah, woo. Because of course you want to cure childhood cancer. Of course you want to see AIDS go away. But I don't know that you should make that as a campaign promise, because I don't know that you can make that happen. But whatever. People do what they want now. You know, what did you watch the first debate? What did that Marianne Williamson say? I mean, what was her point? They ask her a question, and she says something totally different.
Yeah, she's strangely new agey, and
Dark forces.
I think she is kind of one of those people that believes if she wills it, it will happen, or at least that's how she strikes me. That's not my thing, but you know.
She is strange, but Googled. And I don't think Republicans were out Googling her. It had to be Democrats who were watching that thing.
Well, we don't know who was Googling her.
49 states.
There have definitely been some interesting happenings after the debates and things that are pushed on social media, things that happen.
Are you talking about Russia?
Not just Russia. I mean, there are other things that go on behind the scenes, but I mean, clearly Russia.
Big fans of Marianne Williamson?
No.
Over in the Kremlin?
Tulsi Gabbard is their candidate.
You know, I heard that yesterday, that just because Tulsi Gabbard ripped into Harris, now she's a double agent.
That's not.
No. That's what I heard.
I don't think Tulsi Gabbard is a double agent. Let me be very clear about that.
Did they not say that?
But I don't know. I didn't hear anyone
that's
say
been
that.
Said.
But there was very clearly a push from Russian entities to get Tulsi Gabbard's name out there and to say that she was the one that won the debate and didn't she have an amazing showing? And they are going to, I mean, look, they're not attacking just one side of the fence here. The Russians have it out for America as a whole, okay? And that means they have it out for Democrats, they have it out for Republicans, and they're going to try and prop somebody up. We know they're trying to interfere in our elections again. They're going to try and prop somebody up. And for now, it might not stay this way, but for now, that person seems to be Tulsi Gabbard.
But why? What does she have? She's not polling very well.
No, but again, you said Donald Trump wasn't either, right?
Until the first debate. But
okay.
But
who got the help from Russia in that?
Well, I don't know in the
election.
Primary that he got the help from Russia. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen that documentation that he got the.
It was Donald Trump, and now it's Tulsi Gabbard, and we all. And I'm not saying by all means, if Tulsi Gabbard is your candidate because you believe in her and in her
and
policies,
she's a veteran.
Yes, then by all means, you know, support her. But we all have to be aware of disinformation campaigns or what the Russians are pushing on any of our candidates. So just be aware. That's all I'm saying.
So what branch of service was she in?
I'm not sure. Was she in the Marines?
No, I thought it was the Navy, but I could be wrong on that.
But I think she's the only person who's been in active combat who's on the stage, I think. That Yang, he was listed as a winner. He wants to give everybody $1,000 every month. People like that.
I know Buttigieg was in the military, but I don't know.
Well, that's right. I think he was in as well. But that Yang, all of a sudden he's becoming, because he's telling people how he's going to pay for things. He wants to put back the deductions in people's taxes that people were doing for expenses, and how he wants to make corporations pay taxes that they don't pay. You know, he's the only one that I'm seeing who's actually telling you what he's going to do, oddly enough. And he's not polling very well.
I don't think he's the only one telling you what he's
going
to do.
But still, all that has to go through Congress. They can say anything.
And that's the thing about all of these campaign promises. That's why I hate campaign promises. Like, yes, I want to see your ideas, but don't promise me stuff that you can't deliver.
Well, you got to say something.
Because there are other branches of government. And, well, you know, promise
you can't go out there. You can't go out there and say, well, guess what? I'm probably not going to get this done, but here's what I want to do.
So promise me that you're going to reach across the aisle and you're going to do the hard work. That's what I want.
I don't know if you can do that anymore. I don't know if you can reach across the aisle. I think if you reach across the aisle, you come back with less fingers.
I don't think that's true.
Well, when's the last time anybody agreed on anything?
I guess she was in the Army.
The Army.
Okay, yeah.
There you go.
Sorry, I wanted to make sure.
But I don't know why people can't reach across the aisle, but they can't. And certainly the way these people are talking, I don't think they're going to be aisle reachers.
The stakes are bigger than ever, apparently, for reaching across the aisle.
They are bigger than ever. And who's the standout? That's what I don't understand. We know who the front runner is, but who's the standout? Who's the who's the big show person? Who's doing anything big? I mean, we've seen 8 hours of this now.
What do you mean by who's doing?
Who's the stand? I mean, after the first Republican debate, it was Donald Trump. He took the poll lead after the first Republican primary debate in 2015 and never lost it and became the president. Who's doing that this time?
What?
Four debates down and no change.
Well, there are candidates who have moved up quite a bit since they first got in the race. They're not necessarily leading. Joe Biden still seems to be the leader in most polls, not all of them. But there are candidates who have picked up a lot of steam since these debates, most notably Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris.
But I don't think Harris, I think she lost some of her steam the other night.
Well, we'll see.
But Elizabeth Warren, she has some steam, but she hasn't been in a debate with Joe Biden yet. And that's the problem with these way these debates are being done. They're strange.
Warren has no charisma.
What?
She looks very dull.
She doesn't look dull.
Oh,
she gets people fired up.
I don't think her scolding the crowd the other night was very good. That's not going to win your votes. I understand why she scolded them, because she was telling the story about the friend of hers who had ALS, but the crowd was laughing because she cut the moderator off again. And she didn't even understand that that's what the crowd was laughing at.
I thought they were laughing at something somebody else had said in that
time. I think it was because the moderator stopped her and said, we're not going to get... But so answer this question. And she went right back to the ALS
girl
thing.
Girl after my own heart.
But then she scolded the audience. She said, it's not funny that he's got ALS. They weren't laughing because the guy had ALS.
She got to finish her story.
Yeah, but I bet you nobody's going to vote for her. They're going to say, boy, that lady's... You can't do that, can you, Charlie? You can't scold the crowd.
I think she's going to be just fine.
I don't know.
I don't think that tanked her chances at getting
No, but I think get her in a debate with Joe Biden so we can see how the leading woman and... or she hasn't been in a debate with Harris either.
Hey, I'm ready to see it. I'd love to see a debate with Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Julian Castro and Cory Booker. Let's go. Let's do it.
Well, you got to get some of these people out.
Well, like I said at the last time we talked about the debate, I was hoping that some of the candidates who are trailing would start to drift away, but so far not.
They love it. It's national television. They can sit there and do whatever they want.
But it's still so early.
It is.
It
very
is early, but yeah. They. Well, I don't know. It's August 1st now. You know, January is the first caucus that usually sets the tone. 4 months away. Somebody better do something, because nobody's all that entertaining. You know, nobody's...
I find it entertaining. I've watched all four
nights. It's entertaining, but nobody's entertaining. Nobody is jumping out. Nobody's...
Okay, but maybe that's not what Democratic voters want. Just because that's what Trump voters wanted doesn't mean the people who are voting in the Democratic primary are looking to be entertained.
Well,
I'm
Michael
not
Moore
to be entertained.
Michael Moore last week said you've got to be
but
a street fighter.
But we're not in the
you
general election. We're in the primary. There's a whole different base of people who are voting on this particular issue. It's a whole different ballgame than the general election.
Maybe. And we want to get into another issue because we're about to run out of time and we haven't went anywhere else but this.
Yeah, I haven't even watched the debate, so.
Yeah, and they're over now. But, you know, it's interesting how many people are watching them. I'm surprised at that.
They're looking for entertainment.
I think so.
I don't
you
think
got
they're
it.
Looking for entertainment. Looking for I entertainment. Think we're at a point in our country where people who lean Democrat or who vote Democrat are very, very serious about finding the right candidate for the presidency. That's why people are watching. It's not to be entertained.
Speaking of candidates and things that go on like that, The Bachelorette was on.
Oh no.
That, to me,
it's a sickening show. But the point is, here's what I read this morning about this show, is that the girl, who I guess she's the one who does the picking, on the Bachelorette version of this show, I guess. She chose the one guy. The other guy was going to propose to her in Greece. So she chooses the one guy. And the other guy goes home in tears. You know, it's all upsetting. But then she gets rid of the guy she chose in the final show, and then she asks the other guy out on a date 2 days later. So the question is, how long do you wait after you drop somebody before you can date somebody else?
All I can say is that it took me a while to figure out what you were talking about when you said proposing in Greece. That was...
I think that's what he did.
Yeah, but you were talking about Greece, the country, right?
Oh, you meant like Crisco?
Well, I was like,
proposing
wait a
minute, in Crisco?
Or Grease the musical? I was like, what is going on here? I was very confused for a minute. Now I got it.
No, but the point is, this is what people do nowadays. This is how they are. And they're even this way on television. There's no shame in people anymore.
You're the single one, Scott. You tell us, how long is it? How long do you have to wait?
Until somebody leaves?
Well, until you ask somebody else. Isn't that what your question was?
You don't wait long, but if you're on television, you don't want to do that during your final episode. I think that's the wrong way to go. But it's, you know what's funny about this? The reason these things keep coming up is because for some reason, these shows have been on for hundreds of years now. Like 20 years these shows have been on.
Hundreds of years.
And people are watching them in droves. Why?
That's because they keep making them juicier and juicier.
That's right. We got the Virgin Bachelor last time. Now we got this woman who dumps the guy she chose and waits 48 hours and asks the other guy. Because people are getting more crazy.
To me, it's demeaning of...
women.
Yeah, the whole...
men.
I mean, this is all scripted out anyhow.
Yes. That's the problem. It's
designed to attract viewers.
To attract viewers.
They can sell more, charge more for the commercials. It's all a plot. They're laughing at the viewers. You know, hey, boy, we got them now.
But laughing all the way to the bank.
Know.
I think people watch this for entertainment.
Yeah, I think they all... I mean, reality TV has been around for long enough that people get it. They get that they're not getting the real story.
But... yeah, for entertainment, it's a ploy. I think it's a they're putting people down by I'm not smart enough to know what I want to say.
So you think that they're seeing the viewer as not intelligent enough?
Yeah, they're making fools. Okay. Out of the viewers.
But you know what? They play down to
money.
An audience. But that's the problem. You know, that's always been the problem. That's the problem with Jerry Springer. You know, if nobody was watching, it wouldn't be there very long. That's the problem.
Well, that's right.
But I don't think they're... I mean, look. People said the same thing about soap operas. That's really what this is now, is it's a replacement for soap operas, right?
I don't know about that, though, because you knew that soap operas were scripted. You might buy a novel. Remember those romance novels that used to be very popular? You knew it was a novel. You knew that wasn't about real people. But if somebody wrote a tell-all book where they had affairs and they were a real person and they were dropping real names and all. Now that's different. That's playing to a low level denominator. You can watch a movie that you know is not real.
No, but what I'm saying is I think that there's a niche for the kind of television and books and entertainment that doesn't require us to think or to be, you know, like we don't have to, we can just tune out for a while and not pay attention to our own lives or the issues of the world, because, you know, it does get overwhelming for a lot of people. So I don't know that they're necessarily making fools of the viewer. I think this is people tune in because they just want to not think about, you know, real stuff for a while.
But this is what people watch. They watch The Bachelor, they watch The Bachelorette, and they watch debates.
Right.
Because they're waiting for entertainment.
No, you got to have a balance between the issues of the day. You have to know what's going on in the world, but you don't always want to be immersed in that stuff constantly. It's overwhelming. It's depressing.
But is this a reflection of real people? That's the question. And I'm starting to think it is more a reflection of real people. The more I pay attention to real people is that people do act like this. What this girl did is not uncommon. People are having more affairs now. People are getting married less now. People are having less kids now. People are having shorter marriages when they do get married now. You know, it's very strange how society is changing. And maybe it is a reflection. You know, I think anything that's popular is a reflection of something. I mean, you're not watching it to say, oh, isn't that awful?
I think that is partly why people are watching it, is to point the finger.
No, I think they want to know who she chooses.
Well, that's part of it, too. But I think there is an element of wanting to point the finger and say, you know, at least my relationship isn't like that, or at least my life isn't like that. I don't have any of that drama. It is a reflection of our culture as a whole. But I don't think the path that our society is on, where people are getting married less and having less children, that's sociology. That's a cycle that happens over and over and over again. Like, a country gets developed, they start having fewer children, they start having fewer marriages, the population dies down, and then it starts all over again.
I think it's because people are in denial. That's what I have come to. My sociological reasoning on this whole thing is, most people won't admit until their toes are right on the line that things are in bad shape. So this is Facebook. I'm telling you right now, people get on Facebook. It's a vehicle for people to show you what they're doing, because they want you to believe they're happy. They want you to believe everything's great. And if you follow that person long enough, you will eventually find out that everything has crumbled and everything is over. And I think they
are. So you're saying everyone who's on Facebook has an awful life?
Not everyone, but
okay,
I think it's a great majority of the people. Because if you can follow
people.
You're
on Facebook.
Yeah, but I don't post. People don't even know what I'm posting about.
That's
good.
The thing. You're the worst Facebooker
That's
ever.
Good.
Yeah, all these little things that.
Oh, my
had
goodness.
Had fun at the bowling alley?
He's
that was.
Trying to
that was real.
Out what he's talking about.
I don't.
Well, because.
I just. Because, unfollow him.
No, that's good. Don't follow. Because the deal is because I don't want that thing to happen that these other people
do. Why
do
you post about it? That's
because
the thing. Nobody even knows what you're talking about. Why even put it out there? To make yourself seem smart? Is that what?
No, he wants people
to seem smart.
To think.
I want people to think.
Yeah.
Yes,
and,
I'm playing up to an audience.
They're trying to guess what he's talking about.
They are. And they try to get in there.
Who's trying
Oh, they
to
do.
Guess.
Look at the comments sometimes. People are trying to guess what's going on. Just because you don't follow doesn't mean that other people aren't following.
Oh my gosh.
But some people feed into it. And before we wrap up, it is true. Selfies are, they've proven now, this is a narcissistic thing that people do to try to get people to like them and get attention. And I've heard people say that they like people's pictures just to try to build their self-esteem up. Now, that's not good. That's enablement. Because you're not liking that just because you think it's a good picture. You're liking that because you think the person's downtrodden and you're trying to bolster them up.
But isn't that what we're supposed to do as a community, is try to lift up those among us who are not feeling great about themselves? Like,
not narcissistically.
But not every person who posts a selfie is looking to get, you know, a million likes or whatever. I mean, you have to have,
if you're taking
Facebook,
a picture in the bathroom and you're trying to angle it just
that's
right.
That's where we go.
That's where they go.
I know why he brought that one up.
When you go in the bathroom.
But what gets me too sometimes.
It's got to be just so.
Post a picture of somebody in maybe physical shape, badly.
Yeah.
And say, will I get 1,000 likes?
You got it. And
oh,
people watch their phone. They wait for that little red thing to light up so they can see that somebody likes it.
I've never seen anyone do that.
Oh.
Like, not that I personally know.
What Facebook are you on?
I mean, random people, but not anyone that I personally know.
Wheelchairs burn people.
Well, what about people again that say, I'm sick?
When it's somebody who has been burned or a person in a wheelchair, I can almost guarantee you it is not the person in the picture who has posted that.
Oh,
it's
right,
somebody else who is exploiting them and using it to get likes on
their
stuff.
Yeah, but what about
stuff?
The people who post their medicals? Now, that's their medicals.
Yeah, now, and that's every time I go to the doctor, you want to sign this no reveal? I said, no, forget it.
But do you
because
think...
on the internet, people are telling every single thing
right.
wrong with
them. Well, just
but
tell
do
me,
you think people are doing that to get attention?
I'm asking you this. What would be the reason you would post your medicals if you got a bad response on Facebook?
To alert your family and friends?
That's how you do it?
I mean, that's not the only way you do it, but like my family is all out of state.
And then is it people, for sympathy or just what?
Ding, ding, ding.
Well, then they need sympathy, so give them sympathy.
Okay, now,
come on.
I shouldn't even mention it, but the word prayer, this person is ill.
Yep.
And there'll be 20 or 30 prayers. Is that meaning anything? I mean, are people praying, really?
Well,
or
that's
is that
the,
an expression
well,
that's developed?
That's the sympathy question, is do people, I'm so sorry to hear that. I've never met you, but I'm so sorry to hear that.
Do you have people on your Facebook that you've never met?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, because there are people who listen to this show and they'll say something or another. Or
so why not just have Scott Spears' personal page where you don't have those people and then a Scott Spears professional page where you're not going to post.
Charlie, you've got people who you've never met on your page, haven't you?
I don't have. I don't really. Well, yes.
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 I don't.
Well, that's because you're in the grocery store apparently having issues.
No, because you have to be judicious about who you put on your Facebook page. I have pictures of my kids on there for my family to see who's all out of state. I'm not just inviting any old
But why not just send a Christmas card like people used to do? See, that's the problem.
Because then they only see a picture of them once a year.
But that's the problem I have with Facebook is we have email, we have private ways of doing things. But Facebook is a social network. It's not your private photo album. And when you do stuff like that, when you post pictures, when you post test results, when you post things like that, there is some kind of motive in that. You make a decision in your, why am I posting this? Well, maybe some people are posting it because they want their relatives to see it. And that's perfectly fine. But not everybody is. And that's the naivete of
No, but you're ascribing the narcissistic values to everybody who takes a selfie on Facebook, which just isn't accurate.
Not everybody, but a good majority. If you're posting a Facebook every morning as you're going to work with your hair done a certain way and your sunglasses up on your head, even though it's the dead of December, then
hey, snow blindness is a thing.
Charlie, what is this with the sun? Have you seen the sunglasses thing?
Oh, my.
Girls
on top of their head?
January, well, darkest day of the year.
It's the same thing as turning your baseball cap backwards.
Baseball. And
same thing.
I'll tell you this. Here's how you know if a person is being sincere in a selfie. How many selfies have you ever seen taken by a person that are bad? Where there's no makeup on.
Why would you ever want to? You don't have pictures up of yourself that you think are bad, do you? Is that narcissistic of you? No. We always want to present the best
of
ourselves.
Right, but I'm not putting them up every day. I'm not putting them up every week. But
some
people are.
Okay, but so what? They're bad because they take time to get ready and then take a picture of themselves because they feel good?
What's the purpose?
Well, you don't know. Ask them.
I do.
You're ascribing purposes to them without knowing.
And they say, I just wanted people to see how good I looked. And I think, okay, well, that's narcissistic.
It's not narcissistic to think that you look nice that day.
I'll tell you this. If you put, and I'm not saying, I'm talking about, okay, like you in the grocery store, okay? If you put that out on Facebook, people are going to see it. Matter of fact, I'll tell you who's going to see it. Employers, where maybe you're applying. Friends, relatives who maybe you're not that close with, and there is a perception. You know, take a picture of yourself with a beer bottle. Is there something wrong with drinking a beer? No. But an employer who doesn't know you, who maybe is going to hire you to be a nurse in a hospital, they might have a problem with it. And you've got to be a little more judicious that this is a social network. This isn't pictures in your wallet 1985. It's different.
But there's a difference between posting a picture of yourself with beer that an employer is going to see and just posting a picture of yourself because you look nuts.
If I was going to hire somebody, if I was going to hire somebody and I went to their Facebook page and I saw July 24th, a picture of their face, July 23rd, a picture of their face, July 22nd, a picture of their face, I'm going to start thinking, gee whiz, there's something, what is this?
And I don't think most people on Facebook do that. So
I don't know.
I mean, there are people who do it. I'm not denying that. But I don't think it's a large percentage of people.
You know, before we wrap up, this reminds me. Do you remember when you used to have to go and get your film developed?
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Yeah, and the only person who saw it was the person who worked at the photo mat.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to give you the wrong pictures sometimes. And people would flip out because where did my pictures go? Who's seeing my pictures? What's going on over here? Now, put your pictures out for everybody. All of a sudden, people's whole mindset has changed. Their whole idea has
changed. This is why they're putting out pictures of themselves that they think look good, because they know that everyone can see it.
Right, so put a bad one out there sometime.
It was different of when you were taking pictures on film. You never knew, never knew how that picture was going to turn out, really, until you got it back.
But people used to take provocative pictures. Really, this is true. I mean, for people who didn't live in that age, it is true. People took provocative pictures that they knew had to be developed by some little kid who's in high school working at the photo mat. And they saw these pictures. Did they not, Charlie?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I mean, this is what society was about. But you know what?
So they've been doing it all along, and it's not a new thing.
But no, here's what's weird. What's weird is back in those days, they very rarely got out. The photo mat guy never made a – I'm not saying it never happened, but he didn't make a copy. He didn't pass it around the town. It never got out.
But he told everyone in the town.
He might have.
Yeah.
He might have. But now on Facebook – people act like it's never going to be seen. These teachers take a nude picture. They're like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe you saw that. Well, you posted it on Facebook, you moron. You shouldn't be teaching history in high school.
I don't think most of them posted them to Facebook.
Maybe they're teaching
That's
anatomy.
That's not how that happened.
Everything's a cloud now.
Oh,
the Russians
come on.
The Russians have it all.
They do. They definitely do have your nudes.
So there you go. Charlie.
It's a great life.
Isn't it? It's an interesting conversation
Boy,
to have. Because
am I discouraged now or do I feel good?
Well, go home. If it's a good picture, put it on Facebook. People will click like and you'll feel like $1 million by the end of today. That's how it goes. It's been an interesting show. We only covered two topics, but they were topics that were interesting. Politics and vanity, I guess is what you would say. And privacy. So we'll be back. Weasel show's on tonight, I think, 8 to 10. You have to catch that. Good show. And back Monday morning, 6:30. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, listen to all the program. If you've missed something, like the trip to the bowling alley, it's in there. Any of Charlie's shows, this show. So stay tuned.
How are you handling that 6:30 deal?
It's not too bad. It's not too bad at all. So that's good. We're done here. Have a great weekend. Stay tuned.
And damage and desks have been thrown around. The Marion County Sheriff said a driver lost control of his semi-truck after getting a flat tire.